This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
We're recording this program today in Digital Island Studios, which is on 23rd Street at 6th Avenue in New York City. But you're listening to Post Classical Ensemble. I'm Bill McLaughlin and
Joe Horowitz.
And Angel Gil Ordóñez.
And Joe is the mad genius behind all of this, and Angel is the very gifted maestro who has to get all this to sound together musically. Tell us how you two met each other, will you, Angel, and how this relationship began?
Yeah, it was a very nice coincidence. Joe was organizing a flamenco festival when he was the executive director of the Brooklyn Philharmonic at BAM. A mutual friend put us in touch. And we met for breakfast, and we talked about flamenco, about the Spanish music. Then I went to the performance, and I was fascinated by the way Spanish music was presented. So from then on, I had the idea of creating an orchestra in Washington, D.C., and I told him, Joe, I need you here, and this is our 13th season with the Post-Classical
wow.
Ensemble.
I had the pleasure of hearing you perform at the Library of Congress. This is about 4 or 5 years back. Wonderful program of Rev Huertas and Chavez, which is a very interesting story, but we'll have to save that for another week, I think. Well, let's hear some more music from Lou Harrison. What do you got up your sleeve now, Joe?
We're going to listen to what I think is easily the most formidable and enticing violin concerto ever composed by an American. Mm. It's Harrison's violin concerto.
Wait a minute. I'm thinking Samuel Barber.
Go right ahead.
Bunch of composers.
You can go right ahead. Think of Barber. Think of Bernstein. You can even include Korngold. I don't care. I still would say this is the best of that group.
Really?
The Lou Harrison Concerto for Violin and Percussion. We'll just hear the opening of the finale and then talk about it, and then we can talk about it some more.
Fading out of that piece. And you're right, Joe, it is terrific. That's a violin concerto composed in 1962 by Lou Harrison for a festival in Santa Cruz. Zalek Kaufman gave the premiere of that performance. Bob Hughes, wonderful musician on the West Coast that I've known for years, one of the real stalwarts of the Bay Area, conducted it, as he did so many things when he wasn't being a school teacher and a composer and a gardener to try to make all of these things work out. Music of Lou Harrison, wonderful performance from the new Naxos CD. And we have the conductor of that performance, Angel Gil Ordóñez, with us today. Timothy Fain was the violinist. What does that score look like, Angel?
It's absolutely incredible. As you heard, the only traditional percussion instruments are the snare drum and the bass drum.
Uh-huh.
The rest is flower pots, coffee cans, wash tubs.
Junk percussion.
Junk percussion.
Right.
Actually, there is a very beautiful thing that he does, which is he puts the double bass horizontal and let it play as a cymbalon. And the sound is magnificent. So all the sounds we heard are with absolutely non-traditional instruments. And what is funny, when I first got the score, I find 2 long pages of instructions of how all this has to be done. Mm-hmm. So he was very fastidious, very precise in everything he wanted. Let me just read one of the instructions.
Yeah, please do.
He says, for the wash tubs, drill holes 4 up from center on the sides of inverted galvanized iron tubs and suspend by a strong elastic cord.
He's telling you how to build this instrument.
Exactly. And then for the coffee cans, cork or rubber-ended pen holders make good beaters. And are best for the clock coils as well. Clock coils, for example, too. And the sounds are unbelievable.
Folks, as you listen to this, are you getting inspired? I kind of am. I want to go home and see what I got in my kitchen that I could make into musical instruments. One of the things these guys developed that I was astonished when I first heard, you know what brake drums are? I don't even know if they have them on modern cars, but they were the sort of thing that rubs inside your brake. If you put that suspended, they're wonderful gongs of a weird shape. They're entirely metallic, but they ring like crazy. And if you get different size brake drums, you get different pitches.
They are also being used here. And in the double music that we will listen later, they are used all the time.
Yeah. Once you hear the sound of break drums the way Lou Harrison uses it, you will never be the same. Are there any other particularly interesting sound combinations he uses in this piece on Hell?
Yeah. Actually, in the middle section, he achieves an incredible sound with the percussion instruments. And what he writes in the score is, "Here the orchestra should finely shimmer and glitter while the violin chants." And he uses the washstops really pianissimo. And we actually had to put some clothes, and the sonorities are unbelievable.
So shimmer and glitter. He actually writes that in the score. I'm thinking, there's an awful lot of the music of Debussy and Ravel, but here Lou is begging you to do it. I wonder if we could hear a little bit of that before we hear the whole piece. That's magical, isn't it?
It is.
There are at least three levels. There's the
exactly.
The solid, I guess they're 16th notes, the repeated notes. And then there's the violin. But above that, you hear this thing that's almost not there. It's just like a shimmer. Exactly right. Beautiful.
I once had occasion to talk about this piece with Bill Kraft, who for many years was the timpanist of the L.A. Phil. But
right.
One of the big names, one of the great names in American
also
percussion.
Also a composer.
I'd just like to read what he told me. "I found Lou's percussion writing more fascinating than Cowell's or Cage's. I think he was the most musical and the most in tune with sound. I think the Harrison Concerto for Violin and Percussion is a masterpiece. You don't find music like that written by Cowell or Cage. The solo part for the violin is a virtuoso part, extremely well written, and all the sounds, whether produced by maracas or flower pots, are so well integrated that you forget that they're exotic."
I love it.
Isn't that a great observation?
That's great.
Well, let's listen to this wonderful violin concerto. He worked on it a long time, 1948 to 1959, and finally got premiered in 1962. Three movements, each which has several sections. The first movement is allegro, then maestoso. Second movement, largo, cantabile. And third movement, allegro, vigoroso, and poco presto. In this performance, we're listening to violinist Tim Fain with post-classical ensemble under Ángel Gil Ordóñez. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was a bravura performance from violinist Timothy Fain. We just heard the violin concerto of Lou Harrison, which was completed in 1959, premiered in 1962, and sounds to me as if it was written about 4 days ago. It sounds very, very challenging and in the most adorable way. Sometimes you get challenged and think, I hate that. Marvelous performance from post-classical ensemble under Angel Gil Ordóñez. Bravo, maestro. That's quite a job to hold all of that together.
Thank you very much.
It must be a great pleasure to work on that.
Absolutely. I have worked with Tim Fain several times, and he's the perfect violinist for the piece.
Yeah, yeah.
What I wanted to mention is for those who are familiar and who love the Alban Berg violin concerto, they will find a lot of resonance in this music. I mean, Harrison acknowledged the influence of the concerto in the music, especially in the beginning, the opening of the first movement, and all the atmospheric solo cadenzas in the second one is really present.
Alban Berg concerto, one of the great masterpieces, 1930s. He had in mind the daughter of Alma Mahler, who was married then to Gropius, the architect, and their daughter Manon died, I think, leukemia. And she was a teenager, maybe 18 or 19 years old, that far along. It's the most heartbreakingly beautiful concerto. And Lou Harrison, from what you tell me, Joe, was fascinated with the Alban Berg concerto.
It walloped him. He heard it, and he began this concerto under the influence.
Interesting, because Lou Harrison grew up at a time when some of the great European composers were coming to America because of Nazism. Mm-hmm. So Schoenberg was in L.A., for example. John Cage actually studied a little bit with Schoenberg.
So did Harrison.
I didn't know that. And it's interesting because the Alban Berg concerto is, to me, so warm and accessible compared to Schoenberg. And you can actually feel the spots where Berg got the knowledge that this little girl that he was going to write for was dying. He introduces an Austrian folk song into it, introduces a Bach chorale, which turns out was under the surface all along. It was part of his tone roll.
Right.
So that was the influence for Lou Harrison in writing this piece.
It was the catalyst, hearing the Berg concerto.
So would you hear some more music now?
We're now going to the third piece on our new CD, the double music for percussion, collaboratively composed by John Cage and Lou Harrison. In a moment when they're creating the percussion ensemble as a genre with Bill Kraft scouring junkyards in San Francisco for likely percussion instruments. I just refer again to Bill Kraft setting this up. This is the most knowledgeable voice. He said to me it was totally new to explore Asian percussion and junk percussion as Cowell, Cage, and Harrison did. They brought percussion to the fore as the primary vehicle of a musical piece. Before that, there were no percussion ensembles. Stravinsky had been a percussion pioneer. In The Soldier's Tale, 1918, he had introduced multiple percussion. You had one percussionist playing several instruments, not as background, but as prominent solo instruments, which was astonishing at the time.
That's right. The ending of Histoire de Soldat is the devil's dance, and the percussion just takes over completely. It's demonic. It's as big with seven players, in a way, as Rite of Spring had been half dozen years before. Funny thing is that Stravinsky was living in Switzerland at that time, and all of his accounts were frozen. He was sort of persona non grata wherever he went. He's a Russian, but he's living in Paris, and he's got the German publisher and all like that. So he actually wrote himself into the little touring ensemble. He said, if I can play the percussion, I can climb on the band bus, and at least I'll have a salary. But let's get back to the double music, music composed by Lou Harrison and John Cage. What sort of instrumentation, I guess I could use that word, does he use on how?
Again, it's back to Crazy Things, a sistrum, which is like a slide bell, brake drums, a lot of brake drums, different sizes, pipes again. And what is very effective is that he uses gongs submerged into water.
Uh-huh.
So the percussion is lower and raises the gong and hitting it and produces a very beautiful sliding sound.
Can you folks imagine taking a great Chinese gong? Now, you don't just strike it once, it just goes, pwah! It's very impressive. But more fun is just to keep touching it lightly, and you get this rumble coming up. Now, drop that into a tub of water, and what happens? The pitch changes.
Exactly, the pitch just changes because the frequency changes, and then you go from this kind of sound. It's phenomenal.
I know, we're going to have a lot of sloppy kitchens across America when people listen to this program. I love it. It's sort of kitchen music in a way.
It is.
Well, let's go back to this Naxos recording celebrating Lou Harrison. We're going to hear double music. Music by John Cage and Lou Harrison. Double music takes four percussionists, Angel tells me, and he's actually conducting post-classical ensemble. Double music, John Cage, Lou Harrison. Watch out, folks. But keep your imaginations active, and later on, let us know what you imagine playing from your kitchen. Wonderful. I had this kind of vision as we were listening to this music. This is double music of Lou Harrison. I was sort of imagining Braque and Picasso playing in each other's studios, say 1910, 11, 12, when they're inventing Cubism. Throw in a little Paul Klee and maybe the Marx Brothers, and you get pretty close to this double music by Lou Harrison and John Cage. Bravo again, maestro. And a hell, Gil Ordóñez, somehow keeping that all together with post-classical ensemble. Wonderful recording now. Lou Harrison's music, the violin concerto, the grand duo, and now we got to hear the double music composed with John Cage. Joe, I'm fascinated in Lou Harrison's development. He was born in Portland, spent his teenage years growing up in the Bay Area. I know he was in L.A. for a while. He went to New York for a little while. It didn't work out very well for him. Somewhere along the line, he met Charles Ives and actually engineered the performance of Charles Ives' Third Symphony, which had lain on the shelves for almost 40 years. That won a Pulitzer Prize for Ives. And Ives wrote back and said, Lou, you keep it. Prizes are for kids. Can you imagine that?
That's fantastic.
And I've seen that score in the Library of Congress, and you can see what Lou Harrison had to work with. I couldn't make sense of it. You probably have conducted this piece. I did many times with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. And you see what this beautiful thing that, it's like what Derek Cook did with Mahler 10th. It's an amazing musical feat. So where does this unusual, tremendously gifted guy come from, this Lou Harrison? Tell us, Joe.
Well, he comes from Portland. Maybe I can answer this question in the context of the next piece that we're going to hear, which is the suite for cello and harp composed in 1949. What had happened as of 1949, among other things, is that Harrison had studied with Schoenberg, that he'd begun writing non-tonal serial music. He's gone to New York, composed more of that music, suffered a nervous breakdown. He's wound up in a hospital, and he gets out of the hospital, and he composes this piece in 1949 on the cusp of finding his haven in California. So this is a transitional piece when he's en route to his salvation, his escape from this atonal world in which he finds he doesn't fit.
Yeah.
The piece is a marvel. This is the first piece I ever heard by Lou Harrison as a young and very green New York Times music critic sitting in the balcony of Carnegie Recital Hall. And there it was in the program, Lou Harrison, Suite for Cello and Harp. I was confounded because it was on the one hand simple and on the other hand original. And in those years, originality was associated with complexity.
You were hearing this in the early 70s.
I was hearing it in the late 70s.
Late 70s, but that was a time when classical music got about as difficult to understand as it has ever gotten,
at least
in this past century.
So this piece was a complete conundrum for me. I couldn't help liking it, but it felt like a guilty pleasure.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah. We're about to hear three movements from the suite as performed earlier this week. I learned from the wonderful new biography by Bill Alvis and Brett Campbell that one source of inspiration for Harrison was Paleolithic cave paintings in France, and we know that the chorale that begins and ends the suite depicts an old man plowing in the ancient manner behind the immemorial ox, which is very suggestive. So we're going to hear the first movement, then the fabulous aria, which is the fourth movement, and then the chorale, which is a reprise of the first movement. This is with our principal cellist, Ben Capps, and the harpist, Jacqueline Palau.
Thank you.
lovely. Three movements of Lou Harrison's Suite for Cello and Harp. Tell me again the soloists here.
Benjamin Capps, Jacqueline Polau.
Yeah, wonderful playing. Such beautiful cello playing. I mean, all of it was beautiful. And the music, I can imagine it carrying you away. Now, here's a question. You showed up as a rookie New York Times critic and didn't know what to make of this piece. Did you review it anyway? Did you have some sort of review in the Times?
I always had to write, no matter how little I knew.
I've never heard a critic admit it.
I quit. I actually found that a very uncomfortable job, and I'd take no pride in having ever done it.
Interesting. I don't hate critics. I think it's a very, very difficult job. I was not one I would ever like to take. I'd like to be an encourager of musicians rather than a critic. I mean, it's funny, you and I, Angel, we're working with orchestras. We are pretty severe critics of what we hear.
Absolutely.
But always to encourage them to play better.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, you've done so much for us over the years, Joe Horowitz. You've written so many wonderful books on music. And what do you think of this new book, Lou Harrison, American Musical Maverick? Maverick got kind of a bad turn about a few years ago. We had a former governor of Alaska kind of put the kibosh on the word forbidden. But Maverick's a wonderful word, isn't it? And he is a wonderful American musical maverick, Lou Harrison. What do you think of this book?
I think it's indispensable and overdue.
Bill Alvis and Brett Campbell. I think it's Indiana University Press.
It is.
It's not like a Bible, but it's a substantial book, and it's so much fun to read. So I recommend it to all of you. Have a look. You can find it online. I think we have time for some more music, and I'm so psyched to hear more music from Lou Harrison. What have you brought next to play?
Our last selection will be the first movement of the Double Concerto for Violin, Cello, and Gamelan, from which we heard the Stampede Movement 2 some time ago on this show.
Tell me about the piece. I didn't really get what's so special about it. He wrote part of it first, and then he wrote part of it second, and I think my mind wandered for a moment. Would you tell me again? It would be a favor.
Well, this is a pioneering venture. A, he writes, as a Western composer, a piece for gamelan.
Mm-hmm.
B, he adds to the gamelan Western instruments. So these are both unprecedented musical experiments. We know that he learned to play the gamelan in Berkeley in 1975 from a great gamelan master, Pak Chokro. And if you read Bill's book with Brett, you'll learn that it was Pak Chokro who told Harrison, compose for gamelan.
Hmm.
And Harrison claimed to have been astonished and intimidated by this request.
I know that earlier on, Harrison had made some trips to the East. He went to Korea and Taiwan. I don't know that he ever went to Bali or Java, did he?
I can't tell you. I do know that he learned to play the gamelan in California.
Actually, I remember hearing him lead is the right word. He had a gamelan orchestra in Santa Cruz. My son went to school there, so I used to hear that orchestra. It was so much fun to hear them play. They played in a church up on the hill. Beautiful, beautiful music with the sunshine coming in. So here we're going to hear a gamelan accompanied by two Western instruments. And who's playing?
We're now going to hear the first movement of the Lou Harrison Double Concerto for violin, cello, and gamelan with the violinist Nadi Dreblat, our concertmaster, Ben Capps, our principal cellist, and the Indonesian Embassy Javanese gamelan, including on this occasion two very distinguished gamelan masters, Murianto and Sumarsam.
Can't wait. Let's go. Thank you. I started looking through the list of Harrison's work, which is included in this wonderful new book. It goes on for pages and pages and pages. He wrote so much music, and over so long a period, 40, 50 years he was active. He lived a good long life, 1970 to 2003, and we still miss him. He's getting all kinds of honors still to the present day. It was a very short time ago that the mayor of San Francisco declared, "Today in San Francisco is Lou Harrison Day." How many composers have gotten that kind of an honor recently? Yeah.
Sure. I remember reacting with incredulity when I read that he had died, because he had the aspect of agelessness.
Yeah. Well, he was a glandular optimist. You know, I think he's still out there, still leading a gamelan somewhere or another. And Angel, it must have been quite an experience for you coming from such a wonderful and rich but very different culture from Spain to come to the music of this eminently American guy, this West Coast composer. West Coast guys are not like East Coast guys, are they?
Absolutely. The great satisfaction is part of actually the mission of the post-classical ensemble to really pay attention to this phenomenal American composer that have been so neglected. We are somehow apostles of this lost causes. Harrison, of course, is our focus this year. Last year was Bernard Herrmann. Mm-hmm. Before it was Silvestre Revueltas. So we are really focused and dedicated to this phenomenal composer that we believe in, that really deserve. And for most of those, their time has come.
Well, I salute you and congratulate on your work. And
thank you.
Hope it goes on forever. I have just got one grump. It's a little too far away to get to Washington to hear all of your concerts. But, you know, I think the great thing is this wonderful recording you've made with Naxos, celebrating the music of Lou Harrison. It's a brand new recording with the violin concerto, the grand duo, and the double music with John Cage, featuring post-classical ensemble under Angel Gil Ordóñez. Maestro, it was a great pleasure having you in the studio
today.
Thank
you very much. It was a privilege to be here.
And you, Joe, our evil genius that puts all of this together. It's always such a pleasure to get into this studio with you. I always learn so much. Joe Horowitz.
And me too, Bill. This is very gratifying to be able to share impressions spontaneously. I have one more thank you that I would like to add, which is to Ambassador Bolo Laksono, the Indonesian ambassador to the United States, who's a great friend of ours, both personally and musically. We're indebted to the ambassador and to the embassy for hosting so many Harrison events that we've presented in D.C., and I might add that the Indonesians don't seem to realize the musical contributions they've made to the Western tradition. Because that Western tradition, it don't exist in Indonesia.
Not like that. If you think of these two islands in the great Pacific Ocean, Java and Bali, they're just only two islands out of 1,000 or so in Indonesia. But their effect on Debussy, Ravel, Satie, all the way down to, through John Cage and Lou Harrison, all the way to Steve Reich, is fantastic.
It's a story that's never really been adequately told. I don't think there's a single book you can read about the impact of Indonesian music on Western composers.
Maybe we ought to turn our new favorite authors loose on that project. Bill Alves and Brett Campbell wrote this wonderful book, Lou Harrison, American Musical Maverick.
And we have a closing encomium from the ambassador himself.
I applaud the post-classical ensemble for their commitment in promoting classical music and working very, very hard to release new Lou Harrison CD under Naxos. Not only the CD release coincides with Harrison centenary celebrations, but it also plays an important role in promoting a better understanding for Indonesians and Americans through cultural diplomacy. In March 2016, we hosted a PCE concert at the embassy celebrating work of Lou Harrison that incorporates Javanese gamelan as an important element in his music. And we are delighted to once again host Lou Harrison's centenary celebrations on April 24th. I believe music is a universal language that can unite people regardless of their background. Indonesian music is rich in cultures, heavily influenced by varieties of sounds and rhythms. In its own terms, Indonesian music is also a reflection of East meets West. As we have 350 ethnicities from more than 17,000 islands that stretch out from the most western part to the most eastern part of Indonesia. Lou Harrison has proved this notion through his music that connects people from the East and the West and made a wonderful for collaborations that eventually enrich each other's cultures. It is my honor as the Indonesian ambassador to the United States to always promote music and cultural diplomacy that bind the ties between the two nations. Again, Big congratulations to Post Classical Ensemble.
You've been listening to Post Classical, a bi-monthly series, tonight a celebration of the music of American composer Lou Harrison on the centenary of his birth. We want to thank the Indonesian ambassador to the U.S., Ambassador Bolo Laksono, our performers at the live concert given by Post Classical Ensemble at the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Washington, D.C. this past Monday, also Matthew Gardner, our recording engineer in New York, Bill Zygmunt of Digital Island Studios. Check them out at digital-island-studios.com. The new recording of Lou Harrison's music featuring violinist Tim Fain in the violin concerto. He is joined by pianist Michael Bariskin in the grand duo, plus the double music Harrison composed with John Cage. The performance is by Post Classical Ensemble on Naxos. Check it out at naxos.com. And finally, our hosts for this program, music director of Post Classical Ensemble, Angel Gil Ordonez, co-founder of Post Classical Ensemble and music historian and author Joseph Horowitz, and the host of Exploring Music, Bill McLaughlin. The next Post Classical comes your way Friday, June 30th, and will feature the music of Dvorak, specifically Dvorak in America, and his connection with Longfellow's The Song of Hiawatha. Let us know what you thought of tonight's program at info@wwfm.org. I'm David Ozenberg. Post Classical is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org.